The suspect in the New York bombing has been arrested following a shootout with police in which two officers were hurt. Afghan immigrant Ahmed Khan Rahami is being questioned in connection with Saturday's blast in Chelsea that injured 29 people. Authorities are looking into whether he was working alone or as part of a broader terrorist plot. Steve Mort reports from New York.
The FBI has been at the scene of Ahmad Khan Rahami's home in Elizabeth, New Jersey, close to where several pipe bombs were found at a train station. Authorities have linked the Manhattan explosion with another blast at a charity race in New Jersey over the weekend. Speaking in New York ahead of meetings at the United Nations, President Obama pledged support for investigators.
They and their teams will continue to have all federal support as they move ahead with their investigations, tracking down every lead and working to keep the people of this city and of this region safe.
Mr. Obama said there appeared to be no connection between the bombings and a mass stabbing at a Minnesota mall. Steve Mort, New York.
The bombings in the New York area happened as world leaders gathered in the city for the 71st session of the United Nations General Assembly. On Monday, leaders are discussing the plight of migrants and refugees around the world and what action should be taken to solve the crisis. Meanwhile, the attacker who stabbed 9 people in a mall in the U.S. state of Minnesota over the weekend has also been identified. The father of 22-year-old Dahir A. Adan has come forward to name his son, who is a Kenyan-born ethnic Somali who's lived in the U.S. for a decade and a half. The father, Ahmed Adan, says he had no idea his son, who was shot by police, was involved in extremist activity. The fragile ceasefire in Syria may have come to an end, with the Syrian military declaring the truce over. The military has accused rebels in the country of repeatedly violating the ceasefire over the past week. The temporary truce was brokered by the U.S. and Russia. 8 Afghan policemen have been killed by a U.S. airstrike, according to officials in Afghanistan. The United States is supporting Afghan security forces battling Taliban militants in the Uruzgan province of the country. From Washington, Harry Horton reports.
Afghan police officials say an initial U.S. airstrike late on Sunday killed one policeman. A later airstrike targeted first responders and killed at least 7, according to officials. The U.S. has confirmed airstrikes in the area, but say they targeted individuals posing a threat to Afghan security forces. Afghan officials say they're investigating the attack and are in contact with their American counterparts. Harry Horton, Washington.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you, Rebecca Foster. It's coming up for 3 minutes past the hour. It's Monday, September 19th, 2016. My name is Richie Allen. You can talk to me as always by tweeting at Richie Allen Show or email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Hope you've had a terrific weekend. Lots to get through. Got a really good week lined up for you this week. Tell you more about that in a minute. In the meantime,
broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with DavidIke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, coming up this hour, the legendary CIA analyst Ray McGovern is back on the program. So much to get into with Ray. The Syrian army has announced a ceasefire in Syria, brokered by Russia and the United States over a week ago, is over. What's that mean? Some analysts, some journalists saying that it's pushing Russia, Syria, the region, the United States, the UK, maybe even China to the brink of a global conflict. Ray McGovern will tell us more about that in about 15 minutes' time. Well, he'll give us his take on it anyway. And coming up in the second hour, Betty Martini, an old friend of mine, returns to the programme. It's been over a year since we heard from Betty last. She is the founder of the Worldwide Volunteer Force Mission Possible World Health International. She's committed to removing aspartame, or aspartame, from our food supply. It's a sweetener, an artificial sweetener, and it's deadly. And with news that the state of California might be about to label aspartame as carcinogenic. No better time to talk to Betty. She'll be joining us in the second hour. Lots to get through with her as well. So like I said, I hope you've had an absolutely terrific weekend. Been a good one here, been a quiet one. Nice and relaxing it has been. Great to be with you, though. And as I said, there's a lot coming up this week, and I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. We are broadcasting live on davidicke.com, on alternatecurrentradio.com, and on fabradiointernational.com. Check out those platforms. Do it today. Do it today. And Jeffrey Jackson, the lovely, well, one of the absolute top man, great bloke, great guest on this programme many times over the last 2 years, and a great health journalist. Jeffrey went to see David Icke at Irvine in California, well, actually close to Orange County in Los Angeles over the weekend on Saturday. And Jeffrey had this to say. It was an amazing experience, he said. What I enjoyed most was the crowd's awareness, so much cheering and clapping. And during David's final segment about motivation and what humanity can actually do to stop the agenda, the air was electric. What an amazing speaker and researcher. That was Jeffrey Jackson, sent me that message over the weekend. David is in San Francisco this coming Saturday. For details on that, go to theworldwidewakeup.com or davidicke.com. Couple of people, you know, that last Thursday saw the second anniversary of the programme. It saw the second anniversary, the second birthday of the programme, September 15th. And I thanked a few people for their support in helping the programme over the last couple of years. Some of you found that kind of amusing. One or two of you saying it sounded like an acceptance speech of some description or other. It wasn't like that at all. I just wanted to thank a couple of people who have been very good to me. And I left out two people, and it wasn't intentional, and they were on a long list, but I want to mention them now. Terry Howell, my friend in Salford, who manufactures the coffee mugs for the show. Go to ebay.co.uk and look for Richie Allen mug. Huge thanks to Ted, an amazing guy, for doing that and raising money for the programme. And Andy Hunter from freestylehomes.com, who sponsors Jordan Maxwell when Jordan is on the programme. Check out freestylehomes.com. Jordan was due to be with me last week, but he's not been well. He's okay. It's not so much heart related, so he's asked to postpone it for a few days, but I'm hoping that very early next week he'll be back on the programme. Now, it is Monday, so following this programme, there will be a brand new healing meditation from Kim Hutchison from livingasyoursoul.com. It's a healing guidance meditation today, and it's called Transforming the Disempowering Energy of Anger into Empowering Action. And that comes up just after this programme at 10 p.m. BST. So you've been following the news, the mainstream media, and the events in New York City over the weekend. You'll know now that a guy called Ahmad Khan Rahami, who's a naturalised US citizen born originally in Afghanistan, he's been arrested in Linden, New Jersey, after a shootout with the police. He's a suspect in the New York bomb blast, which injured 29 people on Saturday, and the New Jersey blasts. These were 5 devices in New Jersey in a backpack, which exploded when a bomb disposal robot tried to deactivate it. Now, I understand there have been other arrests since then, but the media is all over this guy, Rahami, okay? A pipe bomb exploded on the route of a charity race in New Jersey on Saturday as well, forcing the event to be cancelled but causing no injuries. Now, this is not related. You might have heard Rebecca Foster say on the news a few minutes ago that US authorities are saying the bombs in New York are not related to the stabbings in a Minnesota shopping centre at the weekend, which were allegedly carried out by a guy called Dahir Adan, who's a Kenyan-born ethnic Somali who had been in the US for 15 years. He apparently ran around a supermarket in Minnesota on Saturday and injured 9 people. thankfully didn't kill anybody, but injured 9 people. Now, the stabbing in Minnesota, you have to keep up with this, dear listener, because there's so much stuff going on, you have to kind of keep up with this. The stabbing in Minnesota has been claimed by Islamic State, allegedly. RASD, which is a news agency linked to the so-called Islamic State, said the attacker, Dahir Adan, in the Minnesota shopping mall, was in fact a soldier of the Islamic State. Now, I wondered aloud on Facebook over the weekend, could those attacks have had anything to do with the fact that dozens of Syrian government soldiers were killed in an attack led by US Air, or the US Air Force, I should say, earlier on Saturday, which at the time was presented as risking or endangering the ceasefire deal between Russia, the United States, Syria, and the so-called Syrian rebels, Syrian opposition. Now, we learned earlier this afternoon that the Syrian army has said, well, the ceasefire is over. The Russians have said there have been over 200 violations of the ceasefire in the last week and are looking at the United States and pointing all sorts of fingers. 62 Syrian troops were killed in the Deir al-Zour strikes on Saturday. The United States said, what did they say? Well, what you'd expect them to say. They said, we regret the unintentional loss of life. More on that and the implications of that with Ray McGovern, former legendary US CIA analyst, of course. Ray joins me in a few minutes' time, and we will be discussing that, of course. It's 11 minutes past the hour. Now, Vladimir Putin, according to news outlets around the world, won even greater supremacy over Russia's political system after the ruling United Russia Party took 3/4 of the seats in parliament in the weekend election. That basically lays the ground, paves the way for him to run for a 4th term as Russian president. Landslide. This is the Duma elections. The Duma is the lower house of parliament. They won about 76% of the seats, did Putin and the United Russia Party. What does that mean for everything that's happening at the moment? Again, Ray McGovern will have lots to say on that shortly. What was really interesting about the weekend's election result was the way media in the US and in the UK started screaming fraud. These were fraudulent elections. There was all sorts of things going on. And even RT, to its credit, published a video on its website of what appeared to be an election official stuffing a ballot box, caught red-handed. Now, it might be genuine. I've never been a fan of oligarchs. I've never claimed to be a fan of any political leader anywhere in the world. We did a whole show once, didn't we, on the Sochi Olympics and the corruption there and the corruption, you know, surrounding Putin and his people. But really, dear listener, the United States and Great Britain accusing Russia of electoral impropriety, pass the vomit bucket. I'm not even going to start listing the incidences in this country and in the United States in recent years when there has been serious concern over election results. Not going to do it. So we'll leave that one alone. Give me a break there on that one. What is it? Looking at the clock, 13 minutes past the hour. Here's a story that interested me because I got to know the guy very briefly in Spain. The former England footballer Paul Gascoigne pleaded guilty to racially aggravated abuse today over a joke at a show. He was doing a speaking tour. Come and meet Gaza, famous ex-footballer, have a chat with him. He's a colourful character, Gaza, widely considered to be one of the most talented players produced by Britain anyway in the last 30, maybe 35 years. He's had a lot of problems with substance abuse and alcohol abuse. There have been times that people have feared for his life. But he does a speaking tour and he talks about his career. And apparently, in one of the events, he humiliated a black security guard assigned to protect him. This was in Wolves. So Gascoigne is at Dudley Magistrates Court today. And the man's name is Errol Rowe. And Errol was on protection detail. And apparently he was standing at the side of the stage. Being the side of the stage, being in the wings, it wasn't very well lit. And apparently during the show, Gazza said to him, "Can you smile, please? Because I can't see you." Now, Errol Rowe was cheesed off with this. He went and made a complaint about it. And today, Paul Gascoigne was ordered to pay £1,000 in compensation, a total of just over £2,000 when the cost of the trial was factored in. I think he had to pay just over £2,000. Now, the judge was a guy called Graham Wilkinson. And he said, and I quote, "You sought to get a laugh from an audience of over 1,000 people because of the colour of Mr. Rowe's skin." The judge went on to praise the Crown Prosecution Service for bringing the case, saying that Gascoigne's comment was an example of insidious racism which needed to be challenged. Insidious racism. Now, I'm glad that the complaint was made by Errol Rowe himself and not some thought police member of the audience who took offence at something that wasn't said to them and about somebody else. I'm glad it was Errol Rowe. But is that really an example of insidious racism by Gascoigne? Are we going down a slippery slope here? I'm not saying we are, by the way. If you want my opinion on it, I think it's a stupid thing said by a kind of, a very tragic figure in Paul Gascoigne. I think it's a stupid thing he said. A stupid thing. Obviously, the security guard in the wings, he doesn't have a microphone, so he's not going to be able to take part in the banter. So he's not, you know, in a position to say something funny about Gascoigne. Gascoigne's appearance or whatever. So I think it's a stupid thing to say. I wouldn't advise it. I would never say something like that. Is it insidious racism, though? Is it evidence of a creeping racism in society? I don't know. Is it evidence of the ever encroaching thought police on, you know, on everything that anybody might think or might say? Well, I don't know. I'd love to get your opinion on it. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. Email Richie at richieallen.co.uk. I'm not defending Gascoigne at all. I'm not saying it was okay. And like I said, I'm glad it was the security guard himself who said, "Well, I'm not happy with that. He shouldn't have said that, so I'll make a complaint." I'm glad it wasn't some, you know, pain in the arse in the audience. You know, one of these people who takes offence at everything on behalf of everybody. Shami Chakrabarty, for example. I'm glad Shami Chakrabarty wasn't in the audience. So I don't know. I'd love to get your opinion on it, though. It's coming up for 18 minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Here's a quick break, back in a minute.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Oh, we've got some really good guests lined up this week for the programme. Coming up tomorrow, Paul Craig Roberts is back on the programme. You don't want to miss Paul. And Mark Bajerski joins me tomorrow as well. What a great guy Mark is. Just got to mention, over the weekend, or I think it was on Friday, again, because we were celebrating 2 years on air, Mark Bajerski, again, did an auction of beautiful healing materials and raised £225 sterling for the Richie Allen Show. Don't know what to say about that other than thanks to Mark, an amazing guy. Check him out at markbajerski.com. So Bajerski is spelled Bajerski, B-A-J-E-R-S-K-I. Mark's on the programme tomorrow night. He's brilliant. You loved him when he was on previously. He joins me. Also coming up this week, Brian Rothery joins us from Ireland. This is extraordinarily important. Again, this is about women fleeing their country with their baby in case Child Protective Services takes their child away. Brian Rothery, close confidant of Ian Joseph's in France, has been on the programme. Big, big show that on Thursday. Brian is on. And on Wednesday, I'm going to be speaking with John. He's going to be on for the entire show. I mentioned this today on Facebook. Extraordinary story of murder, of mind control, of state cover-up of a murder, of police cover-up of a murder of a young woman. It's an amazing story. I met with John today in Manchester at a hotel in Manchester. He's flown in to say hello to me. He's going to be on the programme on Wednesday. I can't say any more about it other than the information given to me by John backs up his story. It's an amazing story. Have to mention, though, John met David, David Icke, that is, in New Zealand a few weeks ago when David was in New Zealand as part of the Worldwide Wake Up Tour. John told his story to David there. David said, you really should get in touch with Richie Allen. That's how it's happened. We've been kind of going back and forwards over the last few weeks. Big, 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 heavy legal story this. We're going to talk about it on Wednesday. I mentioned today, John Grisham or James Patterson or Patricia Cornwell or any of these great authors could have written this story, but it's true. And we're going to hear it on Wednesday, so you don't want to miss that. Right. I'll take a breath now, shall I, and play some music. Let's play some music then. Ray McGovern is in Washington, D.C., standing by to talk with you and me. You don't want to miss him.
In France, a skinny man died of a big disease with a little name. By chance, his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home, there are 70-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby because she couldn't afford to feed it. It was sending people to the moon. In September, my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing horse. It's June.
Yeah, you might think that's appropriate. Prince and Sign of the Times on the Richie Allen Show. It's exactly 20 5 minutes past the hour. Let's welcome our first guest to the programme. He doesn't need very much introduction. He's given us his time before very generously. He's a legendary and highly decorated former CIA analyst. He's a whistleblower, a human rights activist. We see him regularly on Press TV, on RT. He writes terrifically insightful articles on his own website, which is raymcgovern.com. I highly recommend it. Let's welcome back to the programme our friend Ray McGovern. Ray, thanks again for taking the time. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well, Richie. And you?
I'm really well, Ray. I would have likened to be at that wedding of yours over the weekend. I know you're at a nephew's wedding over the weekend. I would have loved that, Ray.
It was grand.
I'm sure there was great fun. And I'm sure there's a few pints of the black stuff there, I have no doubt.
No, it happened to be an odd day, and on the odd days I don't drink.
I'm going to open with this, and we are going to talk about torture and Obama and hypocrisy at the highest levels of the US government when it comes to torture. But I can't not mention this, Ray. In light of the fact that the Syrian army has seemingly said late this afternoon, UK time, but of course lunchtime in the US, that the ceasefire is effectively over. And the Fiscal Times has written today that, and it's a very strong article in the Fiscal Times, basically alleging that we're at the brink and that US-Russian relations might be, you know, at a low not seen for maybe, you know, several decades. The Telegraph newspaper on Friday last, which you'll be aware of, reported that US-backed militias were chasing away American special forces in Syria, chanting death to the West, and Muslims must unite against the latest crusade from the West. And just in case any of our listeners didn't get that, because I can go around the mulberry bush once or twice, I am known to do that. Basically, the Syrian rebels, backed by the United States, have been chasing US special forces out of, basically kicking them out of town. What's going on, Ray? Are we at the brink? Is this the most serious low that the United States and Russia have reached in the last 30 years?
Well, yes. The Cold War is back on. The only problem is that Mr. Putin refuses to be provoked. What the neocons would dearly love would be for him to overreact. And then people like Ashton Carter would turn loose our military in a way that they're sort of chafing at the bit to do. Richie, what needs to happen here is we have to take two steps back, or maybe even three. Who profits from all this? What's going on here? Why does, quote, Assad have to go, end quote? What's the U.S. interest here? Well, our first president, George Washington, warned us against attachments to other countries, passionate attachments, he called them, that make other countries' objectives seem to be identical with our own. And that is the case with the state of Israel. Now, it's no secret that Israel wants chaos in Syria. If there's chaos in Syria, and Syria eventually gets dismembered, well, it's going to be very difficult to resupply Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and Israel will have nothing to fear, not only from Syria, but from Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. 3 years ago, the Russians bailed Obama out by persuading the Syrians to destroy, most people don't realize this happened, to destroy their chemical weapons, which they did on a U.S. warship expressly fitted out to destroy such chemical weapons. Now, what happened then? Well, the Jerusalem bureau chief of the New York Times, her name was Jody Ruderman, she went to high Israeli officials and said, you know, Obama was just about to attack Syria. What do you think? What's your preferred outcome? And they said, well, Jody, it's a little awkward here. Doesn't sound really good, but our preferred outcome is no outcome. And she said, come again? And this is what they said. I'm reading here from a New York Times article, September 6th, 2013. This is a playoff situation, said one of the Israeli officials. It's a playoff situation between Sunni and Shia, in which you need both teams to lose, but at least you don't want one to win, so we'll settle for a tie, okay? Let them both bleed, hemorrhage to death. That's the strategic thinking here. As long as this lingers, there is no real threat from Syria. Now, most people don't realize that because that crept into the New York Times on a Labor Day weekend when the censors were out in the Hamptons sunning themselves. And this was a one-off thing. No such candor has appeared in the New York Times or any other newspaper, especially the Washington Post, since then. But our policy there seems designed to make sure that nobody wins, that Assad goes or doesn't go, but that the Russians don't make advances that our military don't like to see. And that's why you have chaos there. That's why you have our military in the person of Ashton Carter, the Secretary of Defense, deliberately defying John Kerry, our Secretary of State, and the feckless Obama sits back playing his fiddle in the White House while Syria burns. It's an unconscionable situation.
Does it have anything? I mean, I got to direct our listeners to your website again. Folks, go to raymagovern.com. Always terrifically insightful articles on there, but Ray's media appearances there as well. And Ray's been talking to Press TV, and they've been talking about the $38 billion worth of military aid, which will be given over a decade, it must be said, over a decade to the state of Israel. They've been talking about the whys and the wherefores. Where does that desire for there to be no outcome, Ray, where does that fit in with the idea of the greater Israel project, the expansion of Israel? That Zionist, and again, for some of our listeners who listen through, you know, Fab Radio here in Manchester, through mainstream radio, you know, there's nothing conspiratorial about this. It's there. This has always been the Zionist plan for the Middle East. Where does that fit in with all of that, Ray, the Greater Israel Project?
Well, it's all laid down in a document that was prepared for Netanyahu before he became prime minister the first time. This document was written mostly by U.S. Zionists. Richard Perle and Douglas Feith, both of whom became, number two and number three in the Pentagon under Rumsfeld. So it was clearly devised to set out a strategy for Israel. It was called a clean break, a new strategy for securing the realm. The realm? Well, the realm that Israel had established starting in 1948 on Palestinian territory, and then, of course, widening it in 1967 in the Six-Day War. Now, that spells it all out. You dismember Syria, you dismember Iraq, you work on Iran. Well, Iraq and Syria have been taken care of, okay? And Hillary Clinton has seen fit to do Libya as well, sort of as another bonus here. And so this area is really pretty much shattered. And the only person, the only state that can hope to profit from this is Israel, because no one's going to threaten Israel as long as there's pandemonium in Syria, Lebanon, a little bit in Jordan, Iraq. My God, that's what's happened since Bush started it, and Obama, to his discredit, has been unwilling or unable, in his view, to finish it.
And you think, when you think back to what General Wesley Clark said all those years ago, not long after September the 11th, he said he saw a document, didn't he, Ray? And the document had a list of countries that were going to be targeted for regime change or unsettlement, if you will. You've got to believe that Clark was telling the truth when he saw that document, because it's played out pretty much as he said it would.
Well, it has, to everyone's great misfortune. Look at the millions, literally millions of refugees that are fleeing not only from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, but also from Libya now. It's a human tragedy of immense proportions. Now, you mentioned the money, the $38 billion that will be given to Israel over the next 10 years. Well, That has to do with what President Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. What did he mean? Well, he meant that as long as the military and industrial people have more power than they should have, they're going to make weapons, they're going to want to sell weapons, and when you get $38 billion worth of weapons sold to Israel, who's making all that money? Well, only a few Israeli firms. Most of them are U.S. corporations that make the arms, sell the arms, and then give a portion of those proceeds to our congressmen and senators. And it's just, you know, is this a great country or what? Pope Francis, of all people, I don't usually quote the Pope, but he stood before Congress, actually, it's exactly a year ago. And he said, look, the main problem is the blood-soaked arms traders. Whoa. And what did the senators and representatives? Oh, they polite, polite. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then they checked their wallets to make sure that the latest returns from Lockheed Martin were still in there. Yeah. It's just so clear. Now, if you take the other country that's so intimately involved and wants to keep the pot stirring, well, that's Saudi Arabia. Now, why is it that the United States, or that our statesmen or our politicians, when they're asked about Saudi Arabia, how can you justify selling, giving arms to Saudi Arabia when they're making a catastrophe in Yemen, when they're fueling insurgencies all over that part of the world? And these people sort of, you know, get kind of nervous because they don't want to say anything about Saudi Arabia because, get this. Under Obama's administration alone, $100 billion, so that's B with a, like in boy, right?
Yeah.
$100 billion worth of arms have been offered to the Saudis. Now, people say to me, now, Ray, for God's sake, don't exaggerate. Only $50 billion has been approved. And I say, only? I don't think only, whether it's an adverb or an adjective, I don't think only belongs before $50 billion. But money speaks. The Saudis pay cash on the barrel, so to speak. And that's what's driving a whole lot of this, including the tensions that are building up vis-a-vis Russia.
And of course, the Saudis were co-opted onto the Human Rights Council by David Cameron, which is extraordinary. In fact, the only time in recent years, Ray, that I've seen a presenter doing his job on mainstream television was when Jon Snow of Channel 4 News really tore into Cameron about that. You know, in light of what we know about how Saudi Arabian men and women are treated by their government. You see, we refuse to say regime, Ray, don't we? We'll never say regime. But how it's treated by its government, how could you co-opt them onto the Human Rights Council? It's an absolute outrage. What can people do? We've listened to you, Ray, for years. Now, you and I have only been talking for less than a couple of years, but I've been watching you from afar for years. And others like you, people who've been right in the heart of it, you know, right at the heart of government, doing what you did. You briefed, you know, a half a dozen presidents. Extraordinary stuff that you've been involved with. What do people do, Ray? I mean, I had Cynthia McKinney on this program. She's a regular guest. She was on 18 months ago, and she talked about the harassment from the Israeli lobby before she even had a chance to put her scarf and her coat on her nice, shiny coat rack in her nice new office when she became a congresswoman, Ray. Before she even sat down, the Israeli lobby were all over the place. Basically, do what we ask you to do. You'll have the time of your life here, and we'll get you re-elected. Don't, and it's going to be a lonely old place. Now, the American people don't know that, because I suggest that there's a big movement in the media, more than ever before, to shut down criticism of Israel by announcing that the use of the term Zionist or Zio. Now, I would never say Zio. It's a bit stupid, that. But using the term Zionist is really anti-Semitism in disguise. If the thought police are going to shut down any mention of Israel, Ray, how are people going to learn about it? Because if they don't understand what's going on, they're never going to do anything about it, right?
That's correct. You know, and if there are historians around 100 years from now, and they're not underwater, and they've got some clean air to breathe, one of the great anomalies, one of the great puzzles that they will try to figure out, just as we're trying to figure out now, is why it is that a small country, 6, 7, 8 million people, could control so much of the destiny of the world and pretend to be a victim when they are indeed the victimizer of the folks from Palestine whose lands they occupied with our help and who could not continue to do these things without, well, $38 billion in arms sales from the United States. It's unconscionable. You're right. The media is controlled largely by six or seven major multinational corporations. The Zionist influence is discernible there. This is all part of the problem. If American people knew, and there's a wonderful website, If Americans Knew, if they did know, we're fair-minded enough to say, wait a second. Wasn't George Washington right when he talked about these kinds of passionate attachments, which no longer correspond to reality, but the people in these positions and the people that Hillary Clinton is listening to, for example, are the declared neocons. And, you know, again, I define neocons as a person who, whether thoughtfully or without much thought, thinks that the strategic interests of Israel are identical to the strategic interests of the United States. Now, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I just don't think that those people should be running U.S. policy, and they still are.
They're still there, Ray.
Yeah.
That's the tragedy, yeah. I want to ask you this. Some of our listeners have been asking me to get an opinion from you about, you know, the Colin Powell emails and about Israel having 200 nukes pointed at Tehran, which, if it's true, I suppose is unsurprising, but it's absolutely terrifying at the same time. But I want to ask you about those. Now, you know, you've been very kind coming on the programme, where others maybe wouldn't, because we hold some opinions that I know you wouldn't agree with, Ray. I think, without sounding in the least bit patronising, I think you've always believed in discourse with everybody, no matter who it is. Ray, I started off in mainstream media. I came out of uni, I did English and history, I worked in mainstream media, did my thing, eventually began to get a bit depressed with that, and kind of eventually ended up where I am now. A lot of history in between, a lot of water under the bridge in between. I believe, Ray, that there is an absolutely psychotic depopulation agenda. I do believe it. I believe there's enough evidence to warrant investigating it. There are those in the corridors of power, Ray, you know, the real stakeholders, the real money holders, that do believe that, you know, that they need to get rid of a lot of us. And I believe that when you see the insanity we're seeing right now, you know, the problems in the Far East, South Korea, North Korea, China, you see what's happening, what we've been talking about today and what you've been writing about on raymcgovern.com. I see a pattern, Ray. I see people who want to push us to the brink and beyond it and, you know, see a lot of us off in the meantime. Do you understand why a lot of us hold that point of view?
I do understand that, and it's a quite a tenable point of view. One thing that perhaps you learn only from 27 years in government is the immense capacity for government to screw up, and to screw up royally. Now, I'm talking about things like 9/11. I'm thinking about policies that become embedded at the top levels where people are in these ivory towers, don't need any advice from people who know what's going on in Syria, for example, and just go off and do their own neoconservative thing. So what I see is a hubris personified by Barack Obama. Now, I've just written an article that will appear on my website later today, but I pick up on what he said Saturday night. And he said, you know, he's talking to the Black Caucus, and he said, you know, I'm going to take it as a personal insult if you don't follow through and vote the right way. And he makes it clear, vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm going to take it, quote, as a personal insult and an insult to my, what's the word they use, to my, what comes after my image after I leave office. Well, what kind of hubris is that? I mean, as though the adage that power corrupts, you know, Lord Acton, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, well, if there's no check on that power, and Congress has shown itself unable or unwilling to check that power, well, it's unbridled. And you end up with things like wars all over the place and a president who claims the right to kill not only foreigners, but American citizens without due process.
Yeah.
Now, that happens to be part of our Constitution. No one shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. Well, Obama gets his attorney general up before some fancy law school and he says, let me tell you about our interpretation of due process. It doesn't say judicial process. All it says is due process. So we do due process right here in the White House. Thank you very much. I mean, that's a gross violation of the Constitution, and Congress doesn't say anything.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to put one more point on that. Then I'm going to leave it because we've got about 10 more minutes and I'm delighted that you're on, Ray. We love hearing from you. I've tweeted Ray's website, by the way. It's raymcgovern.com. Thought-provoking, insightful articles from a man, as he said himself, with 27 years experience in government. Raymcgovern.com. I'll tell you why. I'm not going to harp on the depopulation thing, Ray, but I'll tell you what gets me and has gotten me for a long time. You spoke eloquently earlier on about Jordan and about Yemen, and we see that 100 billion of arms sales to the Saudis, 50 billion at the moment, and we see the result of that, the carnage in Yemen. We see the carnage in Libya, and we believe nearly 8 million people have left Syria because of what happened. Now, I've heard from learned men and women like you before. I've heard the incompetence angle. In fact, Trends researcher Gerald Salente was on the program on Thursday. And I used to bang heads with Gerald about that because he doesn't believe in... He says privately to me, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, Richie, but I like your show, so I like coming on. But you go way too far for me. And I said, well, hang on a second, Gerald. We have a situation here in Europe where countries have been bankrupted and their sovereignty has been removed by the financial institutions of Europe. And we know, Ray, that this was done by design. And it was done to impoverish those nations, to force austerity on those countries. And then through that austerity, to get payment in real wealth. So anything that's worth anything in Greece, Ireland, Spain, Italy, goes to the 1% or the 65 or 70 people, whoever it is. And again, when you mention Warburg, Oppenheimer, Rothschild and all these families, some people throw racism at you. But I've got a lot of integrity. I've been doing these programs for years. There's no racism here. It's a fact. These are the families. These are the families that control the money supply. An inevitable consequence, Ray, of giving all of these arms to these lunatics like Saudi Arabia and forcing the banking system on the world that has been forced on us, an inevitable consequence of that is starvation, is mass poverty, and is war that's going to get rid of a lot of people. And that's why I keep coming back to this. And I know you're going to throw the incompetence thing at me again, and some of my close friends will say the same thing. But for me, it just goes beyond that. And I think, and I'm not saying this about you now, but I think a lot of people don't want to consider it because it's just too awful to think that there are human beings, flesh and blood like us, who have money beyond anything we'll ever understand, and power, and that those people might just be thinking, you know, we could do what really have and or knocking off the population of this planet by 2/3. And I'm going to say that I believe that to be the case, Ray. But I'm going to give you the final word on that, and then I want to ask you about Colin Powell, and we'll move on then. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think, Richie, that there's one factor here that's kind of new, but it's been developing over the last decade. Russia and China are growing much closer together. The moneyed interests that have been running things in the EU and in the United States are going to run into real problems now. China and Russia and some of the Iran and some of the places there out there in Asia and also Brazil, they're facing into why it is that the rich people get still richer in these countries, in the US and Western Europe. And so the West is not going to have carte blanche to pursue these policies. I would go so far as to say that if a neocon or some crazy Air Force general thought it in the United States' interest to start a little dust-up, a little battle, a little war with Russia, the next thing you know, there would be some activity in the South China Sea, and the Russians and the Chinese would make it very clear that it's no longer a bipolar, it's a tripolar world where the U.S. can no longer play China off against Russia. It's quite the other way around, which is a revolution from the situation that existed under Kissinger and Nixon, where they were able to play China off against Russia. So over the longer term, these geopolitical movements are going to have much more significance. The only other thing I'll say is that over the longer term, we're all going to be dead. And I mean our grandchildren. I mean, unless global warming is addressed, Richie, I apologize when I talk to university audiences. The first thing I say is, look, I'm really sorry. I want to apologize because when you're as old as I am, chances are you're not going to have clean water to drink and you're not going to have fresh air to breathe. And it's going to be really tough, but I'm sorry, our generation failed you. That's the first thing I say. So despite all these geostrategic considerations, if we don't face into the climate crisis, it's all going to be, so to speak, academic.
It's going to be academic. On the environment, I think, the environment has been devastated by our activity. I totally agree with that. I'm not certain about our carbon emissions, having the effect that we're told it has. I'm not sure I go along with that. But the oceans, the environment, fracking, we could be here all day. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. I'll tell you what, then, forget about Colin Powell, because the answer is obvious. You said something there that's very interesting, Ray, and we can finish on that. And again, I want folks to go to raymcgovern.com. I've tweeted Ray's website. Terrific articles on there, folks. Get on there, share them, read them. 27 years of insight there from Ray. Ray, you mentioned there that geopolitical things are happening that's going to make it more difficult for the influence of these neocon madmen and madwomen. That's great. But is the flip side of that coin maybe that they might feel that they have to do something, Ray, and that something might be to provoke maybe not a nuclear conflict, please God, but a long drawn out war. I don't want to say using old-fashioned means, but, an on-the-ground war with Russia and with China. If they had nothing to lose, why wouldn't they do that? It's possible, right?
Well, there's lots to lose, of course, on both sides. We are living on borrowed time. I am amazed at the restraint, shown by Vladimir Putin, the much maligned Russian president. There was provocation when the United States and Europe mounted a coup on his doorstep. I mean, people say, well, yeah, that was his backyard. Well, not his backyard, it's his front yard. That's where Hitler, that's where Napoleon, that's where the Swedes and the Hanseatic League and the Poles all came through. And what did he do? He just built up enough forces there to show that the Russians are not going to let anything untoward happen. So now what happens after Putin? There's an election coming up next week in Russia. Now people are saying, oh, let's get rid of Putin. My fear, and I think it's a well-grounded fear, is that there are Russian nationalists far more dangerous than Putin, who would act much more in the tradition of the czars or the first party secretaries, the people who do not have the restraint that Putin should be praised for and not maligned about. So this is all very much up in the air. If people like Obama's advisors or General Breedlove or whatever his name was, the head of NATO, yeah, if they try something like that, you can expect a very measured response from the Russians, unless, and the big unless is, let's say Putin, by some miracle, loses the 82% popularity status that he now enjoys in Russia. And some hot-headed Trump type comes into Russia, then we're in for real, real trouble, because these are the people that will have their fingers on various buttons, all of which can end up destroying a lot of us.
Ray, thanks so much for your time, especially after the weekend you've just had. I really appreciate that. Go to raymcgovern.com, folks. Terrific articles on there. Ray's going to post a new article later on today. Stay with the website. Ray, thanks. Sincerely, thanks for your time and for your insight. Really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Richie.
Look after yourself. Ray McGovern, legend, on the line to us there from DC. It's exactly 24 minutes to the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break, back in a minute.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back. It's Monday, September 19th, 2016. My name is Richie Allen. We're broadcasting live on alternatecurrentradio.com. Check out that platform. Fab Radio in Manchester, davidike.com. David is in San Francisco this coming Saturday. Check out the worldwidewakeup.com for more details on that. Believe me, you want to see David. You want to see David. He's in Europe real soon as well. I think when he comes back, he's got a week or 10 days break here in the UK before he heads to Central Europe. Check out the worldwidewakeup.com. News is next. This is Simple Minds, back in a few minutes.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. The suspect in the New York bombing has been arrested following a shootout with police in which two officers were hurt. Afghan immigrant Ahmed Khan Rahami is being questioned in connection with Saturday's blast in Chelsea that injured 29 people. Authorities are looking into whether he was working alone or as part of a broader terrorist plot. Steve Mort reports from New York.
The FBI has been at the scene of Ahmad Khan Rahami's home in Elizabeth, New Jersey, close to where several pipe bombs were found at a train station. Authorities have linked the Manhattan explosion with another blast at a charity race in New Jersey over the weekend. Speaking in New York ahead of meetings at the United Nations, President Obama pledged support for investigators.
They and their teams will continue to have all federal support as they move ahead with their investigations, tracking down every lead and working to keep the people of this city and of this region safe.
Mr. Obama said there appeared to be no connection between the bombings and a mass stabbing at a Minnesota mall. Steve Mort, New York.
The bombings in the New York area happened as world leaders gathered in the city for the 71st session of the United Nations General Assembly. On Monday, leaders are discussing the plight of migrants and refugees around the world and what action should be taken to solve the crisis. Meanwhile, the attacker who stabbed 9 people in a mall in the U.S. state of Minnesota over the weekend has also been identified. The father of 22-year-old Dahir A. Adan has come forward to name his son, who is a Kenyan-born ethnic Somali who's lived in the U.S. for a decade and a half. The father, Ahmed Adan, says he had no idea his son, who was shot by police, was involved in extremist activity. The fragile ceasefire in Syria may have come to an end, with the Syrian military declaring the truce over. The military has accused rebels in the country of repeatedly violating the ceasefire over the past week. The temporary truce was brokered by the U.S. and Russia. 8 Afghan policemen have been killed by a U.S. airstrike, according to officials in Afghanistan. The United States is supporting Afghan security forces battling Taliban militants in the Uruzgan province of the country. From Washington, Harry Horton reports.
Afghan police officials say an initial U.S. airstrike late on Sunday killed one policeman. A later airstrike targeted first responders and killed at least 7, according to officials. The U.S. has confirmed airstrikes in the area, but say they targeted individuals posing a threat to Afghan security forces. Afghan officials say they're investigating the attack and are in contact with their American counterparts. Harry Horton, Washington.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Now, for alternative news headlines, go to davidicke.com/headlines. Check it out. It's where you'll find, the antidote to what you just heard. Although we like Rebecca Foster. It's coming up for 3 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. Broadcasting, of course, on Alternate Current Radio, on Fab Radio International, the TuneIn app, my own website, and much more besides. I'm going to be talking aspartame with Betty Martini shortly. Terrific lady. Don't want to miss her. As usual, tweet at Richie Allen Show, email richie@richieallen.co.uk. You might have a question for Betty about aspartame, which is carcinogenic. She's been campaigning for years to have it banned. Look it up. Look up G.K. Searle and all of that dangerous stuff. So Betty joins me shortly. Looking forward to that. Keep it right here. Back in a minute.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today. At dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Welcome back, and don't forget, following this program, Kim Hutchison from livingasyoursoul.com will be here straight after me with a brand new healing guidance meditation, and it's called Transforming the Disempowering Energy of Anger into Empowering Action. I'll say that again. Transforming the Disempowering Energy of Anger into Empowering Action. That follows this program. These are truly lovely, wonderful, transcendent healing meditations, and I'm glad to be able to bring them to you on the program. Now, to find out what other people are saying on Twitter, just go to Twitter and put Richie Allen Show, all one word, no spaces, Richie Allen Show. Press enter and you'll see what everybody else is tweeting. So hi to Daniel, to Wayne, to Hubertes, to Faisal, of course, Stevie G, to Chris, to Simon Stewart, my erstwhile YouTube producer, making comments about my carbon dioxide emissions. It's quite funny, actually. I'll give him that. To La Antenna, to Field Mouse, to Lone Horse, to everybody who's tweeting, to Alex Dowse, to Maz Roth. Really nice meme there of a man and a dog on a bench. And the dog is only thinking of himself or herself, and the man. And the man is, obviously, his mind is consumed with other things, never on what he is doing. Very Yoda-esque, isn't it, that? That's all we do. We're never in the moment. I constantly say this to somebody very important to me. Be in the moment. What you are doing right now. Not what you have to do tomorrow. What might happen tomorrow. What's not going to happen if I don't do this. And all of that old bollocks. Live in the moment. Didn't Yoda say that to Luke Skywalker? Or did he say it to Obi-Wan Kenobi, his ghost, while Luke was watching? This will never his mind on what he is doing. There's so much truth in that. I know my friend Kim Hutchison would agree with that. You know, live, enjoy what you're doing right now. Forget about what you might do tomorrow. Or what you have to do. What are you doing right now? You're sitting with somebody. Are you listening to this on your own? What will you be doing later? Don't think about it now. But when you're doing it later, what am I doing? I'm sitting down here with a glass of wine. Lovely. Empty your mind. So much to be said for it. And I used to be wired to the moon. Me. With worries and stress about this and that. Now, all I care about is what I'm doing right now. I tell you what. It worked for me. And to say wired to the moon, I mean, that was an understatement. Right, we're off to the wonderful state of Georgia. No, we're not. We're off to Duluth. Not Georgia. We're off to Duluth shortly. Dr. Betty Martini is going to stand by. She's there.
Some loving here today, yeah.
Yes, the eternal question, what's going on, from Marvin Gaye on the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Going to give it a mention again. David is in San Francisco next Saturday. Check him out. San Francisco, all the details at theworldwidewakeup.com. Now, our next guest hasn't been with us. Well, it's just over a year. I can't believe that. She's a special woman. I have a lot of time for her. Began speaking with her on the radio when I was in Spain back in 2008, 2009. And I'm delighted that she's still doing what she does. For a quarter of a century, she's headed up the Worldwide Volunteer Force, Mission Possible World Health International. They are committed to removing aspartame from our food supply. She has a Doctor of Humanities degree for the work she has done on this front, 22 years of experience in medicine. She's an amazing woman. I could be talking about her resume all day long, but we won't dwell on the resume because we just want to welcome back to the programme. And it is worth mentioning, she is on the advisory board of the American Anti-Cancer Institute as well. Let's welcome back to the show our old friend, Dr. Betty Martini. Betty, how are you?
Just great, Richie. Great to be back.
You're looking great. I can see you, even though this is radio, you've got your camera switched on. And if I had a face like yours, I'd have my camera switched on as well. But I don't. You're looking glorious. It's lovely to talk to you. It's scandalous that it's been so long since we spoke, but you're the bearer of good news today. And I know there's a lot you want to talk about, and I'm going to get out of your way. But tell me about California and the... Well, basically, state authorities there looking at classifying aspartame as a carcinogen. This sounds like amazing news, Betty. What's happening?
Well, interestingly, you know, I had filed a petition to ban, and the National Law Review had published it, and I think that Proposition 65 had realized from information that I had given them some years ago that it really is a carcinogen, and they decided to have a meeting in November. And of course, the thing of it is that we have all the evidence. We have the FDA actually confessing to Congress, Dr. Adrian Gross, that it violated the Delaney Amendment because it caused cancer and they shouldn't have been able to set an allowable daily intake. And his last words were, "And if the FDA violates its own law, who's left to protect the public?" So here we had the top FDA scientists actually exposing his own FDA on the fact that, you know, it was on the market, never proven safe. Now, last time I worked with Proposition 65, they never got my package of studies. The woman I was working with said she never got my emails. I had put it on the aspartame resource guide because it explained how aspartame got on the market, and she saw it because it just got out on the internet. So now they've decided to go through this again, and we even have a human study now that shows that aspartame causes lymphoma and leukemia. And we've always known this, and the rat studies have shown it. And Dr. Siffredi did 3 studies showing aspartame's a multipotential carcinogen.
Imagine.
And if this wasn't almost criminal, it would be funny. But Harvard did one and bragged, "We have the longest and the strongest on aspartame causing cancer." And as soon as they said that, they apologized and said, "We shouldn't have published this." And that shows you how quick industry got to them. And since I put this out, they've now hacked the website. But people from the UK can write letters as well. And on my website, which is www.mpwhi.com, you'll see All Eyes on Aspartame. It tells you where you can write, where you can email. And, you know, I'm hoping that thousands and thousands of letters will get to them. And we have people now going to the meeting that are in California.
You can't overstate, Betty, how serious this is. Now, if anybody wants to go to YouTube, you'll find a million interviews with Betty over the years. including some on this program, where she explains how aspartame eventually found its way into her food supply and the corruption and the sleaze and the filth. G.K. Searle, look it up. Donald Rumsfeld, look it all up. Betty's been talking about this for years. But Betty, just without going over all that again, let's not assume knowledge. Remind our listeners what exactly aspartame is and remind them how widespread it is in our food supply.
Well, if you had to explain aspartame, it's an addictive, excito-neurotoxic, carcinogenic, genetically engineered drug endogenous and adjuvant, and it damages the mitochondria, are the powerhouse of the cell, and interacts with your drugs and vaccines. Now consider, here in the United States, they want to put a new line on the death certificate because they don't understand what's killing so many people. And Dr. Alemany, who did the TROCO study in Barcelona, told me aspartame would kill 200 million people. And the reason it's so poisonous, it's made up of all poisons. You've got aspartic acid, which is an excitotoxin, a product that stimulates neurons of the brain to death, causing brain damage. Dr. Russell Blaylock wrote Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, about it. And then you've got methyl ester, which immediately becomes free methyl alcohol, and as the TROCO study showed, converts to formaldehyde and embalms living tissue and damages DNA, and you can destroy humanity. Then you've got 50% of phenylalanine. That's why there's a PKU warning on it for phenylketonurics that can't metabolize it. And when they start talking about the building blocks of life, understand that phenylalanine in milk or meat might be 4%, not 50%. So it goes beyond the blood-brain barrier and causes all kinds of problems. And then the molecule breaks down to dacetylcyperazine, a brain tumor agent. And it's such a poison, it was listed with the Pentagon in an inventory of prospective biochemical warfare weapons submitted to Congress. And you can Google that or go to my website in The Ecologist, the 2005 issue, which starts out by telling you that. And one of the most heinous crimes of the FDA is they made a deal with G.D. Searle never to allow anyone to see the teratology studies. And that's the birth defect studies. And it wasn't until I talked to Jerome Bressler, who did the famous Bressler report, and he didn't know me from Adam. He just said, 20% missing. Didn't you understand? And I said, well, yes, I did see something missing. He said, people are drinking this stuff. They're pregnant. You've got to find them. And it took me 8 years to find them. And they showed that aspartame causes neural tube defects, spina bifida, cleft palate. And finally, when I added them back to the Bressler report and took them to Jerome Bressler, who's in Chicago, then the FDA released them to Dr. Mani, who wrote the book, While Science Sleeps, A Sweetener Kills, one of the most incredible books that you'll read. And he explains, you know, how it turns the tissues to plastic. He tells you how they destroyed his home, that it blew up with him in it, and he just survived, you know, trying to get this information out. And he's, you know, taking it all the way to the Supreme Court. But I was told that they got to the judge. The FDA at that time in 1986 was going to take it off the market because it blinds and causes seizures. So you have to consider, I just realized I'd been doing this for 26 years and that people, you know, we do it and we do it free, because it's not just something bad for you. People are lied to, and they don't know how poisonous it is. Dr. Blaylock at a lecture says, understand that this is not an allergic reaction, but toxic, you know, like arsenic and cyanide. And that's his exact words. People are actually using poison. It's killing people. It causes sudden cardiac death. And that's why the athletes are dropping dead. Planes have crashed on it. Cliff Evans was referred to me by Dr. Blaylock when he crashed his plane and asked me to set up Mission Possible Aviation because we have 600,000 pilots here. And so, you know, we have this problem too. Now they've got defibrillators on the planes. But we're talking about what Dr. James Bowen called mass poisoning of the American public.
Now, can I jump in there? Because this is hugely important. Folks, if you're just joining the program, Dr. Betty Martini is on. This is vital stuff for anybody who has children and you're giving them diet drinks. In the UK, Betty, they call them pop drinks. They're called soda drinks, of course, in the United States. If you're giving your children this stuff, you at the very least need to listen to Betty Martini and others and read what it is that they've been researching for 25 years. We're talking about the artificial sweetener aspartame, which is known as NutraSweet or Equal Spoonful or Equal Measure. Discovered back in 1965 when anti-ulcer treatments were being researched by a guy called James Schlatter. Betty, over the years, and people like Betty have provided an abundance of evidence that there have been cover-ups, there have been murders. You know, anything that's really bad that you can think of has happened to keep this stuff on the market. So, Betty, the $64 million question is, we have an obesity epidemic in this country and in the United States and everywhere else. They keep talking about it on mainstream news, mainstream media. This has been deliberately introduced into our food supply, hasn't it? Deliberately, to cause the very problems that you're talking about.
Yes, and I want you to know, it causes obesity because it makes you crave, you know, carbohydrates, so you gain weight. And there's been several studies on it. I mean, you know, it has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. But here's something that everybody needs to know. I mean, you know that I'd be the last person in the world to ever use aspartame. But I was in the hospital and they gave it to me. And I did not know, for instance, that it's in all the generic gastrointestinal drugs. So, you know, when a doctor writes a prescription, he does not realize that because of insurance, they only fill it generically. And so I stopped breathing three times and almost died and wrote an article about it. And that's that drug interaction. You know, I asked Dr. H.J. Roberts to write a medical text on it, which he did, called Aspartame Disease and Ignored Epidemic. And you can get it on Amazon.com. It'd be cheaper to get to the UK. But it has a whole chapter on drug interaction. And so they don't understand why so many people are dying. But it is absolutely aspartame.
That's incredible, Betty. Sorry. So what you're saying is if somebody is prescribed omeprazole, which is obviously a very famous treatment for reflux and gastro problems and that. The actual drug itself, omeprazole, you're saying that that contains aspartame. They're putting the sweetener in that as well.
Yeah, well, yes. What I'm saying is when I went back to the hospital and they kept giving me more prescriptions for drugs that had aspartame in it, and I complained, and the doctor said, wait a minute. And he didn't come back for an hour. And he said, Betty, we can't help you. Every single generic gastrointestinal drug has aspartame in it. And I remember Dr. Roberts, you know, before he died, he was always saying that aspartame causes gastrointestinal problems. And then you go to treat them and it has aspartame in it. But what I didn't realize that, like the doctor told me, it was 100%. So that For instance, let's take Pepcid. That's a well-known gastrointestinal drug, and it's a little white pill that you put in your mouth and swallow. You don't need a sweetener, so that when they prescribe it and it's generic, they make it into one of these pills that that melts in your mouth, so they can say, well, it needed a sweetener. So that's what they're doing. And I'm telling you, I almost didn't survive the hospital. You know, they had that for years had scopes like endoscopics that couldn't be cleaned. And this is happening in the UK because I read an article about it, and people were dying of superbugs. And it wasn't until I got out of the hospital after having E. coli in the blood and about 80% people dying, the doctor said he didn't know why I was alive, that I got an email from the LA Times telling that they had known for so many years. So between aspartame and the scopes, I mean, I could hardly walk. And you have to remember that that number two on the list of 92 symptoms is falling down. I couldn't even, you know, it's lost the balance. And now I know why they have falling signs on so many of the hospital doors. And another thing, the newspapers are full of information on opiates, you know, narcotics. So for instance, when I had kidney stones, they gave me Dilaudid. That didn't bother me. But when they gave it to me with aspartame, I stopped breathing. So what's killing people, you know, is the fact that, and I've written about several, one of them, you know, took pain medication, had a Diet Coke before he went to sleep, never woke up. And that's what it is. It's this interaction. And in 2009, the FDA said they were broken. In other words, they're being run by Big Pharma, and they won't do anything. And on top of that, they called me in 2009, and I guess the FDA man was kind of upset, you know, of all this going on, because he seemed kind of angry and called me late. And I said, you know, what's the problem? He says, well, you filed this petition, and the nine scientists from the FDA had written Congress and Obama to do something, you know, about this. And he said, well, Obama said we have to answer everything from 2007. And I said, well, I filed a petition to ban 2002 and an imminent health hazard in 2007. So he says, well, it's not going to happen. And I said, look, I lecture all over the world, and people are sick and dying everywhere. He says, so what? We have to depopulate. And that came right out of the mouth of the FDA. So when I was asked,
the FDA guy says this, we have to depopulate.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and let me tell you, I lectured in England and in Manchester. And when I was there, one of the ladies, Felicity Mawson, who's Mission Possible UK, took me down the street, and they were selling something called Bubbly. And I thought it was something to blow bubbles or something. It had brilliant blue dry dye. And when I looked at it, it was for toddlers, and there was nothing in it that was food. It had aspartame, saccharin, citric acid, and a couple of other sweeteners, and nothing else.
For babies, Betty, for babies. Yeah. Who would give that to a baby? Where's the logic in that?
Right. And I call food standards, because you do have regulations there that you're not supposed to give artificial sweeteners to children three or under. But they really didn't care. You know, I fought with EFSA, European Food Safety Authority, and they're just half their committee has a conflict of interest. So, you know, you can't get anything done, and they're just as bad as the FDA. In fact, the European Commission on Food, you know, that first started something about aspartame, and it was reported about the conflict of interest, and then they became the European Food Safety Authority. But the way aspartame got approved in England was through a business deal with a man by the name of Paul Turner. And I have, and I put online many times, the famous Guardian letter about it. And your parliament had a big blowout, but they did not rescind the order. And if you want to know about that, you can just Google how aspartame got approved in England. While they didn't rescind the order, they set up food standards to get away from industry. And now they're just as much a part of industry. And you can give them all the information about things on their website that are inaccurate. You can give them peer-reviewed research. You can quote a medical text, but they will not change it.
Doesn't matter. Right. Listeners, every time we first began speaking in 2008, 2009, every time we have one of these conversations, you and I, we get the inevitable email or the inevitable tweet from a listener who says, "I've been drinking it for years, Betty." Now, I know the answer to this, and, you know, I've thought about it before, but it's a question for you. What about those who have been drinking it for years, buying it in their superstore, buying it in their local corner shop? They drink it nonstop, and they say it's never done me any harm. What do you say to that?
Well, nobody escapes, because the body is being, you know, the formaldehyde is building up. And it's like Charles Fleming, if you've seen the movie Sweet Misery, A Poison World, and you can see it on YouTube. But there's Diane Fleming, who's in prison. Her husband used diet drinks and thought, you know, nothing was going to happen. And he died of methanol poisoning. And he had used three times the amount of creatine. Creatine and the aspartame interact fiercely. And the creatine breaks down into something like methanol. But she's been in prison for 15 years. You know, one day he's dead. So in the end, so many of them get cancer because you know that formaldehyde causes cancer and the body is filled with it. So while Dr. Blaylock wrote for me a paper called What to Do If You've Used Aspartame, and it's on our website as the Aspartame Resource Guide. You can put it on yours if you like. The one thing we can't get out of the body is the formaldehyde. That goes for me, too. I mean, just from these pills, I just spent a week and a half in bed because I had an epidural, and it's cumulative, and it interacts even after you're not on it. And so many people are using EpiPens because of the chemical hypersensitization, and they go into anaphylactic shock. And so now greedy big farmer has raised the price of EpiPens 400%. But nobody, you know, one day I was in the grocery store, and this man was just had a cart filled of Diet Coke. And he says to me, "I do not have any problem with it." And I says, "Yes, you do. I can see the neurological problem in your hands. You probably have joint pain. You probably have insomnia. And with all you drink, you probably have male sexual dysfunction because that."
Did you really say this, Betty? You said this to the guy, right, in the shop. This is hilarious. What did he say?
He picked up a box of the 12-pack of Diet Coke and threw it at me, and I ducked, and I said, "What is your problem?" He says, "I want to know why you know all my medical problems."
Right.
I said, "You told me you didn't have any." And he says, "But those are my problems." And I said, "Well, then get off of it." I said, "It's not that I know your medical problems. I know aspartame, and if I see somebody buying it, I'm going to let them know, you know, what it is. And I'm sure you have many more." So anyway, he did put it back, but, you know, it's very addictive. So
It is very addictive. I imagine what really cheesed him off was mentioning erectile dysfunction. Probably he was probably OK with everything else. But it is addictive. I've read a number of studies which were published by broadsheet newspapers in Britain saying that diet drinks are far more addictive than their sugary counterparts. I've read those studies, right? I just want to do a quick recap, Betty, before I get out of your way again, because I want to give your website a plug. Folks, go to Mission Possible World Health International. It's simply mpwhi.com. All the information you need about this product, how it came to be, how it came to be passed, and how it ended up in your food supply is there. The wonderful Betty Martini is on the line to us. We've already heard something new here. Betty believes that medication for people with gastric problems, reflux, maybe ulcers, contains aspartame. Okay, check out our website, mpwhi.com. Betty, just a very quick recap. You mentioned at the beginning, as you always do, quite rightly, what aspartame is, basically, what it's made from, and what are the chemicals. Now, it's made from aspartic acid, phenylalanine, and methanol. I probably said that wrong. These are three chemicals it's made up of. And you've spoken at length to me over the years about how aspartate and glutamate work on the brain and what they do. And that too much aspartate basically kills your neurons. It lets too much calcium into the cells. You know what really annoys me, Betty? This is a scientific fact that you've given to people over the years. That on its own should be sufficient for this cancer-causing thing to be outlawed. Just that one fact, right?
Yes, it should
on its own, yeah.
It's also adulterated and violates interstate commerce, and it can only be shipped by hazmat placard like other poisons, because that's what it is. It's a chemical poison. So the whole matter is that people get back on it. It changes their personality. And the reason it's addictive is methanol is classified as a narcotic, and it causes chronic methanol poisoning. This affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. And there's, and in fact, Dr. Roberts said that when you see children killing children, you have to consider aspartame, because it depletes serotonin and it causes psychiatric and behavioral problems.
Depression.
It interacts with all antidepressants. It interacts with all cardiac medication. And, you know, this is why these have epidemics. Dr. Monty explains it. That, you know, that the people are being used as guinea pigs, because you see all these epidemics that were not around before they put aspartame on the market. And you mentioned children. After Sweet Misery, they did Sweet Remedy, and they interviewed the ADD people. And they said before aspartame was put on the market, they hardly used the term. So it destroys the children's brains. So what I did was I asked all the experts to write a paper on how aspartame destroys the brain. And we put them all together, called the Report for Schools, which you will find on a banner on my website. And when you see this, you can email it to the Board of Education or whoever is responsible there. And there was a 16-year-old child in one of your schools there. They took out all regular Coke and put in the light Coke. And one of the kids there, they arrested thinking he was on drugs. And so finally the janitor said, this is the Diet Coke that you are using. And he told me Coke paid off, that they fired the janitor. But all these kids were having all these problems. You got a serious, serious problem there in the UK. And I'm saying this is a reason you should use the Report for Schools. I sent it to the Chicago Board of Education. And when they read that, they did take it out of grammar schools and middle schools. So if, and also you need to know that all the gums, Dr. Walton said, whether it says it or not, have aspartame in it. And, you know, just like sugar made us a safe sweetener, I don't have financial association with them. They just are good guys, and they made one called Just Like Sugar out of organic food. And so now they're going to make a gum that doesn't have aspartame in it. But this is particularly bad for the kids because it works like nitroglycerin under the tongue, goes through saliva straight to the brain. And so in order to save the kids, anybody listening to your show ought to take that. It's several experts explaining, you know, why children should never touch this and what it does to their brain.
Should never go near it. Here's another $64,000 question. Was aspartame designed to also work alongside other external influences on the body, Betty? For example, we talk a lot about, and David Icke talks a lot about transhumanism, the transhumanist agenda, the agenda to merge us with, you know, with machines and to put implants in the body and all this sort of stuff. Is there any evidence or has anybody ever looked at whether or not aspartame was part of that agenda, that it can, its effects can be triggered by maybe external factors like maybe Wi-Fi radiation or anything like that? Because if it's a carcinogen, which it is, you've proven that it is, you and others, surely with the bombardment that we're getting from microwaves, which we can't escape really, unless you've got one of those Faraday cages or whatever they're called, and then you can't go outdoors. Do you think they go hand in hand, these things, Betty? Is there any evidence to suggest that?
I'll tell you something. Aspartame is, it ravages every organ in the body, as you probably know. And the interaction of things you wouldn't think it interacts with happen. So, for instance, if you've seen Sweet Misery, there's a woman in there by the name of Cheryl Kemper at the end they interviewed. And she was going to the hospital to have surgery. And I said, don't do it. And she said, why? I said, because aspartame will interact with your surgery. She says, how can it do that? Well, it's a long and technical story. So I had a doctor, Dr. Bowen, explain it. In fact, we have it on web. But I said, if you're going to do it anyway, you must tell the hospital and all your listeners, you ever go in the hospital, have a ban on it that says no aspartame, which she did. But she said a dietitian gave her a little bit of lemonade, and it was crystal-like with aspartame. She became a cold blue, and they had to resuscitate her to save her life. And she found out that happened. She couldn't understand how it could interact with surgery. I just had an epidural, and it interacted. So, and then you've got all these other things, GMO and whatnot, and naturally poison plus poison equals poison. So I don't know all the different things it interacts with, but that's what poison does. And this is, you know, Dr. Deagle told me in one of his quotes, he said, because of its ubiquitous use in so many things, he said, aspartame is more dangerous, you know, than uranium and all these things that are used, because everybody's getting it and it's interacting with so many different things. So naturally, it can happen. I didn't realize that it could happen with just simply an epidural. So we don't really have it down in writing as far as any of the doctors putting it in the medical text, but you can just surmise that whatever you do, if you've got poison in your body, something else that's also a poison is going to make it worse.
No doubt about it. Betty, we've only got a couple of minutes left on this, probably about 3 or 4 minutes left on it. We've had a lot of comments today. La Antenna on Twitter said, is it true that aspartame came out of the arms industry, Agent Orange? I think it came out of ulcer drug research, didn't it?
Well, you know, I don't like to talk about things that that I can't prove. Dr. Bowen always said it was a Nazi drug. Well, somebody that was in Germany sent me a letter. She was there when the Berlin Wall came down. And she said, I think she called them the Stasi, their police there, had a file on aspartame. And Alex Constantine wrote about the fact that it came over with the scientists on Operation Paperclip. And I have a radio program by a journalist called Aspartame Weapons of War. Well, I can't prove that, you see. So Searle says that they made it, but it wasn't really G.D. Searle because I have the records, and it was another company, because the man contacted me who was actually there when they got some that they say they got on their finger. It wasn't that, Slater. You wasn't supposed to smoke in the laboratory. And so he got it on his cigarette and found out it was sweet. And the reason this man told me about the company and everything, because when he went to G.D. Searle, they wouldn't give him his pension, and he was upset. So he just revealed everything to me. But, you know, we don't know who brought it to them, why they were going to use it as an ulcer drug. And those are things that people talk about and the doctors talk about. Dr. Bowen talks about it all the time. But I don't write about it because I don't have any. When I write about something, I've either got to have scientific peer-reviewed studies, FDA records, everything's a matter of public record. And so exactly where it came from, I don't think that people will ever know of that because it was so long ago.
So long ago. But at this point, what it's doing to people, how it's, you know, how it's killing people and what it was designed to do, are far more important at this point. Betty, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I want to give them to you. You know, you're speaking now to, I mean, our audience demographics, we've got a lot of 30-something, I would say 30-something women and men listening to this program. They've got children. We've got an adult audience. Betty, what do you say to them? They're hearing this for the first time, right? Some of them are definitely, and they're shocked by it. They're thinking, holy, holy God, you know, what's this all about? Our kids, they drink this stuff all the time. What would you say to them before we wrap it up?
Well, I go through the grocery store and see people throwing things in their cart. This is so serious, you know, that I've done this a quarter of a century, and free just as the other operations in 43 countries. And it's so important to read every single label and to take that report for school and send it to your PTA, to give it to every teacher, to every principal, and make it known. If you have to send your own lunch to school on top of that, I don't know about in the UK, but I do know that the dairy people, because children, you know, we warn children off of it, that they have asked for 13 dairy products to contain aspartame, which is unlabeled, and this is against the law, but they've done it. The jam people did the same thing. So it's very important that you know where you get your food from today, because look what happened to me. I came so close to death, and I would never use this stuff. It's that important. And I've asked all the doctors to make these reports available. They've written it for us on just about every subject. You can go to pre-embalming and get the Croco study. You'll see a button on sudden cardiac death for people who have our heart problems that may be using it. But we're talking about a world epidemic, and it's everywhere in every country that I have visited. It is very serious. And you need to continue to write food standards. And this is the death knell for aspartame, if we can get it classified as a carcinogen. And I would tell your listeners, even though you're in the UK, you know, to write to Proposition 65 on that paper. And also we're asking for letters for Diane Fleming to go to the governor, and that's in the aspartame the paper that we put out for Awareness Day, that's on the website, you know, and start doing things in your country, you know, to get the information out. I've been there twice. So many people did not know. So it's just so important. One man said, if it's got a label on it, don't use it. You've got to get away from processed foods, and it's in so many things unlabeled that, you know, it can really harm your children, and to take it very, very seriously.
Betty, it was great to have you back on the program. MPWHI.com, that's Betty's website. I've retweeted it again. I've tweeted the article about September being Aspartame Awareness Month. Stay in touch, Betty. Always great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Richard.
Great work. Wonderful stuff. All the way from Georgia, there, the wonderful Dr. Betty Martini. Delighted to have her back on the program. Serious stuff there. Tweeted out those articles during that. A lot of conversation about that on Twitter as well. A lot of interest in where it came from. If you Google it, you will eventually get the Wikipedia page for it. And there are a number of acknowledgements, at least acknowledgements that there have been very serious claims made about it over the years. But typically, of a Wikipedia article anyway, it concludes that there's never been any links to cancer, there's never been any links to psychiatric problems, there's never been any links even to weight change, there's been no links to anything, says the Wikipedia page. But it's untrue, because the men and women Betty was quoting there are not pseudo-doctors. All the people she mentioned there in that piece, Mercola and others, are all real scientists and real doctors. You know, they're not quacks or fakes. And they've been publishing the results of studies for years that shows that this product, this sweetener, does cause the serious health problems that they allege it causes. Fascinating stuff and vital. I mean, brain tumours, Alzheimer's, mental retardation, lymphoma, birth defects, all associated with this particular product. Right, going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I'll let you know what's happening for the rest of the week, and then we'll more or less wrap up.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Join in tonight's discussion by tweeting at Richie Allen Show now.
Yeah, my friend in Dublin, Jean Ann, she's not in Dublin now, she's in the west of Ireland, made a very good point to me there. The information Betty gave us about hospitals and the medicines that is prescribed for ulcers and for reflux is invaluable information. And it did shock me that it did, because I didn't know that. I didn't know she was going to go down that road. Now, I've known Betty Martini since 2008, late 2008, 2009. And I can tell you that anything Betty Martini says, she believes it to be true, and believes that to be true based on information she's been given by people who are credible people. She doesn't make claims that she's not sure she can back up. Now, funnily enough, I would have lying around the house an old omeprazole box, because I've had my problems over the years with reflux. And I'm going to have a look at the box later on just to see if it's listed, if aspartame is listed as one of the ingredients. But from what Betty was saying there in the conversation, it's not always guaranteed to be the case that, in fact, it will be listed as an ingredient. Fascinating stuff. Exactly the reason this program exists, to give a platform to researchers like Betty Martini. Wonderful woman. Delighted to hear her back on this program again after such a long absence. Now, we've got some really interesting and varied guests and subjects and topics on the programme coming up over the next couple of nights. Now, tomorrow, Paul Craig Roberts is back on the show. Chatted with Paul today. He's in good form. He's looking forward to coming back. The wonderful Mark Bajerski joins me tomorrow as well. John joins me on Wednesday. Now, John is going to tell a personal story, the likes of which you have never heard in your entire life on Wednesday. Stop banging the microphone there, Richie. And that story is all about mind control, about murder, about state-sponsored murder, state-sponsored cover-up of murder, going right to the heart of the establishment. It's an incredible story. Met him today in Manchester. He provided me with an abundance of documentary and audio-visual information to convince me that the guy's got a case, right? So he joins us on Wednesday. And on Thursday, Brian Rothery joins us from Ireland, from Wexford, is it, or Wicklow? Claire will tell me if indeed she's listening. And he's a colleague of Ian Joseph's. And one of the things he does is he helps people whom are at risk of losing their child to the state, to the Child Protective Services. He helps them basically get the hell out of Dodge. Brian Rothery joins the programme on Thursday. Now, coming up in a few minutes is another brand new healing guidance meditation from Kim Hutchison. It's entitled Transforming the Disempowering Energy of Anger into Empowering Action. That's Transforming the Disempowering Energy of Anger into Empowering Action from our friend Kim Hutchison, and that's coming up in a couple of minutes' time. Thanks so much for listening to the programme. Thanks to Claire, to Aaron and to Simon Stewart for all their help. It wouldn't be a show without them as well. Enjoy the rest of your Monday wherever you happen to be. Stay with alternatecurrentradio.com for terrific programmes. Also Fab Radio in Manchester. And stay with davidicke.com and my website as well, richieallen.co.uk, which is going to look very different in the coming weeks. Bit of an overhaul going on there. Alrighty. I've enjoyed that. That was Monday's programme. I've been Richie Allen. Thank you for listening. Look after yourselves and one another. And I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. BST. Leaving you with Duran Duran. Bye for now. To it.